Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website's Real Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and... wait, fucking John Stamos was in the Beach Boys? For real? The fuck? And with me, I have...
Florida Man's gonna kill us all, isn't he? He takes many forms, some of which more stupid than the last.
And...
no, we ain't singing no song to y'all today.
Yeah, there are no songs. All the musicians are broke. Well, more broke than usual, but you know what I mean. It's just, man, I'm starting to go insane. Stir crazy. And anxious. Like, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, besides start robbing people. Nah, I'm kidding. I would never do that. I'm a good boy. I swear.
Sure.
What's that supposed to mean? You're the one who's always breaking into my house and drinking all my Baja Blast.
Remember, the key to fixing a good break-in? Meth. Lots and lots of meth.
That is absolutely true, and I can confirm it with facts. But I'm afraid of incriminating myself, so I'm going to deny I ever said that. Anyway, yeah, here we are at episode 169. I'd make the joke, but things are decidedly not nice right now. Unless you're Italian. How's your Pornhub premium memberships going?
Couldn't tell you, because I don't live in Italy. So, yeah, I don't know what that's all about. But aside from that kind of stuff, yep, consider me one of the many who has had their hours cut, because... reasons. Many reasons. Some of which certain people in power cannot seem to comprehend. Because they're fucking stupid and greedy and just terrible people who will... I probably shouldn't say anything more, otherwise I'll incriminate myself. But yeah, aside from that existential crisis, hope y'all bought some music off of Bandcamp on Friday. I did, because I got some rarities from the Porcupine Tree catalog, because they opened up a Bandcamp page.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, and it's being regularly, kind of, anyway, updated with more previously unreleased for a long time rarities. So, yeah. And it all went to them. So, yeah, hopefully they can get some good pushback from that, because musicians need money since all the tours and festivals are going to be canceled.
We'll touch on that later.
God damn it, man.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, have you gone stir crazy yet? Got the cabin fever? Stabbed a ham?
Well, let's see. Right now my hours got cut. So there's that. I'll just either sleep or try to look stuff on YouTube, at least to keep me sane. Or now, no, I say, fuck it, I'm just getting Netflix again. Just watch what you see, like Beastars, which you said you should watch. I ain't fish it yet, but yeah, you should watch that.
Yeah, I saw the first season of that over the weekend. It's been a while since I dived into Netflix movies, but yeah, that's just good. Now I just need to decide what I'm probably gonna watch next. Finish off BoJack Horseman, go to Castlevania. Maybe I'll finally get around to the second half of Baki. You know, except for the part where I'm told that there may be a certain band responsible for the second opening theme, but I don't want to think about that right now.
Okay, yeah. And, oh yeah, also, since I said, let me just spend money on music, on streaming shit. Yeah, I bought another title $4 for 4 months thing as well.
Oh yeah, me too.
Cause I figured, you know what, $4 4 months. Yep, I'm in.
Yeah, do what you can. Cause still not sure when certain policies might kick in at my work or just in general. Cause we're being governed by an administration that has the collective IQ of Kid Rock's fan base.
Oh boy!
Thanks, and Florida man.
Oh yeah, apparently that one particular individual does not want to institute a lockdown in the state, because again, the question seems to boil down to, you know, yeah, sure, there's a public health crisis and people's lives are at risk, but what about my stock portfolio? We can't forget about that now, can we? But in the meantime, I've just been finishing things here and there. I did at least get a new cosplay finish, so there's that. I finished Yakuza Kiwami. I started up Final Fantasy IX today. I finished all of Dudadada Season 1 after putting it off for like 10 fucking years. Gotta find time to get around to Dudadada X2 some point. Beastars Season 1, which was fucking dope, and I can't wait for Season 2. And, I mean, yeah, that's basically about it. Just shooting the shit with friends elsewhere, because, yeah, I gotta keep myself from going stir crazy. If nothing else, at least the shitposts have been fantastic. We'll get to that later. But for now, we must jump into the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussions of the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along and listen to our takes and everything, and find some tunes to keep you occupied. First up, our good old friend Devin Townsend is one of the many musicians who've been hit hard by the whole COVID-19 thing, had to cancel his upcoming tour, and even had to open a GoFundMe, because obviously he's not making, you know, much money, clearly. And so he decided that he's going to keep himself occupied with a series of projects under the, you know, obviously named banner of Quarantine. You know, possibly some podcasts, recordings, live streams, shit like that. And to kick things off, we of course have an appropriately titled song called Quarantine, which seems exactly like the kind of melancholic and mellow new age sort of thing that you would maybe want to listen to keep your mind from going anxious. Kind of sounds like the more new age, lighter side of DTP by way of like some Casualties of Cool influence in there. Certainly helps keep the mind calm with its ethereal atmosphere and keeps me from getting cabin fever.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice chill-out tune to relax to, more reminiscent of some of the softer tracks from Empath, and even stuff from, say, Ghost, and that more ambient side of Devin that we all know and enjoy. It's nice to listen to that while the whole world continues to collapse all around us. But in the meantime, there are other projects under this banner that are going to be coming out. One of which was the Ziltoid TV pilot.
I still need to watch that. I haven't gotten to it yet.
That alien has a very filthy mouth, my goodness.
And we love him for it.
Yeah, he sounds like me when I would have my coffee in the morning.
Appropriate, then. Anyway, time to move on to our next song here, which is certainly the opposite of calming, because it's another Lucy track from Peggy himself, JPEG Mafia, with a track called Covered in Money, which, you know, it sounds just about like what you would expect. Yeah, the beat is, of course, this kind of warbled, mechanical, glitchy, you know, thing with some mumbly monologue and improv as it starts off. I mean, shit, that's basically the whole intro, and he's basically, like, just, you know, mumbling and coughing and shit until you get to the main beat, which is kind of this Tune Yards-esque sort of thing. And then, of course, fucking just weird-ass lyrics, like, spitting slurred, I can't handle my beer, beat my dick when I look in the mirror. Fucking, these ain't bars, I'm describing a murder scene. And then, of course, when you get to the back half, the song gets into this more sort of mellow auto-tune thing. And it's weird, that weird, weird, crazy Peggy shit. And, you know, it's entertaining if nothing else, but probably not the most calming thing to listen to.
Yeah, especially with a course like this. I covered the money, I'm out of the bag, I'm full of the country, damn, borderline dressed in drag. A bunch of rehearse before we fit in the back, poking out Nicki Minaj, the meat getting dragged. Like, okay. This is never in JPEG Mafia song, and it's like the part in the first half where he's, you know, trying to sing at first, or, you know, he's trying to, you know, strain his throat, trying to sing, but like that, but yeah, like, oh, that part, like, okay, but yeah, this was a good Lucy track from him.
And speaking of weird rappers who tend to pop up a lot on this podcast for miscellaneous reasons, hey, look at that, another year, another full-length project from Mr. Quelle Chris.
Yes, he came up with his new album, and it's a Country 2, from the sequel to his first album, which I need to listen to, because I'm so like that. Okay, anyway, he's doing a song called Living Happy, the opposite of what we're doing right now.
And, help us.
Yeah, and it features New Orleans rapper Calavera and Chicago's Joseph Joseph Chilliams. Hopefully, the song got that very, you know, soul, the very soulful beat you got from him, and it sounds like what you know, I hear out of a Curly Chris track, and yeah, this would be kind of decent. I should mention that it's him and I think a producer on here named is Chris Keys, which I guess I'm assuming he's the producer of this, which since you mentioned Toon Yards, the album actually just features one of them, Meryl Garbus.
The main singer-songwriter. Nice.
Yeah, feature appearance from him, Billy Woods, Dim Marvesi, Homeboy Sandman, Pink Sanfu, Sifu, Earl Sweatshirt, and a lot of others. And album comes out April 24th.
Excellent.
Yeah, but like I said, I ain't gonna say about this track. I said, yeah, it's a very solid, a very solid track from him, man. Yeah, it's gonna hear some critics here, and hopefully people will buy down because killing that cash too.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of again more albums and artists impacted by this pandemic, so okay, moving on to our next song. So there's this band called Old Man Gloom, something of a popular supergroup as far as the realms of like sludge, doom, and post metal and everything. I've been meaning to get around to their stuff. I actually did get around to one of their things earlier. Let me explain. So, they had announced that they were going to be putting out a new album May 22nd called Seminar 8, Light of Meaning. But as it turns out, apparently there was some trickery afoot up their sleeves. Yeah, apparently this is a band that's quite known for pulling some unusual hype and releases as far as their own projects and stuff. Look up the Ape of God if you want a good example of what I'm talking about here. So, they had revealed today that they were actually planning on releasing two albums, the second one being called Seminar 9 Darkness of Being. That one was meant to be a surprise release sometime relatively closer to the release of Seminar 8, but unfortunately they couldn't really figure out how to do it at first, they had a whole bunch of ideas, and they decided, you know what, fuck it, let's actually just drop that album in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, and then you'll all get the full Seminar 8 when that part's due. Which, feels like it would be within the wheelhouse of this band. So, I actually listened to that album, and it's some damn good shit. I need to go back through the rest of their discography at some point. But now we actually have to talk about the song here that was originally released to promote Seminar 8. A track called EMF, which, thankfully, has no relation to that friggin' 90s thing. You know the one. And yeah, the track opens with a lot of weird sonic ambience, kind of like walking through tree branches with this kind of garbled fuzz that's like a vocal recording being warped beyond all belief. After a minute, the full band kicks in, and yep, this sounds like that really grimy, filthy, doomy sludge shit. Rhythmically off kilter, guitars that hit these hard, syncopated patterns with these kind of ominous arpeggios playing over top. You can hear a lot of that frayed twang of the lead melodies, as well as this very bassiness, this like huge bassiness to the guitars and the bass itself, fucking punching you in the ears, creating the suffocating atmosphere, even though it's relatively kind of high energy tempo. And yeah, I've mentioned I'm a sucker for this kind of Cult of Luna, Sumac, fucking the ocean type of thing, and this is doing it for me. I'm really gonna have to set aside some time for those other albums.
Okay, while heavy droning kind of metal music isn't super my thing, I can still appreciate a good little bit of trickery every now and then. But the first minute of this song kind of threw me on a loop because I was just hearing like ambient white noise playing and then everything kicks in. So, yeah, it's alright for me, I suppose. But I'm more interested into what they've done in the past, these tricks that you mentioned. So apparently it pissed a lot of people off when they did it for their last album.
Ah, fun times. Anyway, time to move on to the realm of something a little bit more conventional. So yeah, May 8th, we'll see the release of the newest album from Lamb of God, self-titled project. And we have the second single from the album, Memento Mori. And it's another one of those that opens up with, like, a clean vocal, something that seemed to be maybe a bit of a sticking point for some on their past release. So, yeah, of course, it opens with this kind of ominous, clean intro, almost kind of a Slipknot, sort of Master of Puppets era Metallica thing here and there. And then, of course, once it kicks into the full groove of it, it's, again, more quintessential Lamb of God. Those hammer-on pull-off riffs, triplet note fills on the drums, those grooves and sticking patterns, those pretty like massive half note bridges and grooves, those guitar chugs. It's all quintessential material. So yeah, as someone who likes Lamb of God, this is doing it.
Yeah, pretty strong track here. I like the use of the clean guitar section to build into the main riff. And I'm always in favor of a message that boils down to stop listening to talking heads with agendas.
Yeah.
I cannot groan long enough to get this, to make this point. Something, can you tell if we're a little pissy?
Very, very pissy indeed. About a lot of things. But anyway, time to move on back to more underground metal spiel. So, Krellis had apparently, they have a new project that was supposed to come out sometime, TBA, you know, still is, no name, no release window or anything, but it'll probably happen before the year's over. Krellis, they sneak up on you like that sometimes. But we have the lead-off single here called The Wheel, and from what I understand of Krellis, they're normally more, you know, black metal than anything else, but this track tends more towards a sort of death metal motif than anything else. Like, you get a lot of these alternating fast slow passages with a lot of unusually paced rhythmic bars, guitar tremolo riffs that ride up and down, you know, the neck with these weird crazy harmonies, the drums shifting between slow grooves and fast, and these fast blast beats with rapid double kicks. The bass, of course, is very punctuated in the mix and kind of stands out a lot in a way that kind of sounds like, well, honestly, it kind of sounds like if death had continued into the 2000s and the 2010s, you know, hashtag fuck cancer. As someone who kind of runs hot or cold on Krellis material, I'm intrigued. This is something that I like more than I don't, so, yeah.
Well, I never knew what freeform jazz would sound like as lo-fi death metal, but now I do, so that's a thing, I guess?
Yeah, it just be like that sometimes. Anyway, time to move on to the next track here. The past week's entry into the Adult Swim singles program. This coming from a project called Geotic, alias of musician Will Weisenfield, who normally records and produces under the moniker of Bats. So, yeah, no real clue about this person, other than apparently they dabble in a lot of synths and dream pop and stuff, and this track is kind of a weird one. Like, okay, it starts with this kind of repetitious kind of quarter note electronic thud buzzing synths that stutters at these very irregular rhythms, especially because there's like multiple tracks all kind of like beating against each other, running at these odd intervals when layered. Then you actually get something of a like grounding point with this like deep bassy kick, some hi-hats in there, and then the song kind of starts throwing all these weird accentuations into the, you know, beats and everything with this kind of dream pop vocal over it. And I don't know about this one, because it kind of feels like two ideas competing against each other. Like, if this is trying to be like super calming and dream-like and ambient, there's way too much clattering noise and shit in the mix to really like do that. And if it's trying to be an experimental like abstract piece, like I guess in the vein of kind of like an Elijah Crampton or a Dan Deacon or something, then it doesn't really have the cohesion necessary to make that function. It's just, I don't know, I don't really get much out of this one.
What I got from this is, it's like, here's this burger, and here's some dream pop cheese with some, with these weird ass skaters and this twitching beat, and basically, we went through everything. Here's a whole bunch of shit that's thrown in there. Hope you enjoy. Oh yeah, there's a hot sauce too. The bomb hot sauce, by the way.
Oh shit.
It's, that's that's what I'm saying hurt. Is it's kind of everywhere. It's like it's a bit of that and kind of this, and it tastes kind of weird.
Yeah, but speaking of Adult Swim singles, moving on to our next track here. You know what single I still regularly bump on the daily since it came out? The Grift from Eyes Without a Face. Have I mentioned that I'm a sucker for 80s synth cheese? Because that should probably be obvious by now. But anyway, they are not done yet releasing music, no, because we now have a second single from this project called Cold Moon. And yeah, compared to the more bouncy, you know, kind of gothic grooves of The Grift, this one's got more of this like stomping, driving tempo to it. Like, this is like legit driving music. Like, the drums, of course, have that synthetic echoing feel to it with the constant pounding of the kick. the synths drone on with, like, the vocals coded in that, like, you know, digital saturation, leaving plenty of room for those synth, you know, melodies over top to add to things. This is, like, that primo 80s Miami Vice type shit, and yeah, this is a vibin'-ass just banger of a song. Like, I'm already interested in wanting to hear a full length from these guys, whenever the hell that may be, because of, you know, the plague. Don't let the plague stop your synth dreams, people.
Yeah. Look at the song. One thing I think about this song is that one 80 Simpsons gag where, I don't know, it's the Miami Vice, then that one Miami Vice thing. This song reminds me of that. I don't know why it just clicks like that. This song, but yeah, what I'm saying is this song, yeah. I thought a face man, another good joint, and of course, and of course, you can buy it on bank. You can buy it on Bandcamp, which I plan to do. Hope since it's hella cheap.
Yes, it is. Anyway, time to move on to our next track here, and this one being yet another single courtesy of Thundercat from his upcoming April 3rd project. It is what it is. This one's called Fair Chance, and it features contributions from Ty Dolla $ign and Swag on Maximum, They'll Be the Bass God. This one apparently is more of a tribute to the late Mac Miller, which you kind of get right away because this is a very gentle vibing tune than anything else. It's kind of free from the lyrical snark that categorizes most of his music. It's just this very gentle looping bass arpeggio in the background, mainly with him, Ty, and Lil B, you know, taking care of, you know, the vocal duties in a very you know, serene and sincere manner. It's what it is. It works. It's very, you know, calming like that, and almost kind of life affirming in a way.
I never heard like Lil B sing like, or at least rap in a way like this before. I mean, I know he probably done it, but yeah, this sounds very, you know, very, you know, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's vibe, but it's more, you know, more sincere since, you know, they paint you to a, you know, to that fun homie. Which yeah, and Ty Dolla $ign does well too, since he tends to be either, you know, well, just there most of the time, because I mean he's like a fork, he's just there, but in here, you know, it's a good fork.
Anyway, time to move on to the next jam here, and you know, as we've mentioned with the coronavirus pandemic going around, there's been a lot of misinformation going about, people who are like, oh no, everything's fine, relax, big pharma and stuff, to everybody like screaming panic, buy all the toilet paper. And you know, my only real commentary, as I've said before, is that at the very least, the shit posts have been fan goddamn tastic, and none more so than this song we are about to talk about. So I'm pretty sure anybody who's seasoned in YouTube musical comedy is already familiar with Jared Alonge, who disappeared for a couple years so he could, you know, reorganize his priorities, and started up his YouTube channel as a promotional outlet for more obscure, under-the-radar musicians under the moniker of Bokito Media. But it looks like Jared himself is ready to jump back into the recording thing, because he's announced a new album, the debut full-length for his fictitious deathcore project, Vermicide Violence, coming out April 17th, titled The Praxis of Prophylaxis. And as we glimpse from the trailer, the main gag of the album is that it is a deathcore album where the lyrics to all the songs basically double as medical PSAs for a variety of conditions, including a deathcore medley that is about how you could possibly go deaf from listening to too much deathcore. I wouldn't really know anything about that. Everything's fine. No one check on me. And, of course, there's a song about the coronavirus, the first single from the album, Corona Viscerated, which features fellow YouTube Jared Dines. And, you know, it's weird how Jared Alonge, of all people, is one of the more sane, sensible voices in the room. Probably helps that he pairs it with a song that just fucking slams. Like, seriously, this shit fucking, it is textbook some really, like, gnarly-ass deathcore with those massive, meaty triplet guitar chugs, palm muted and pinched harmonic to shit with that ominous guitar lead. Of course, the fucking weird rhythmic shifts in the drums with that really big, like, halftime groove about, you know, when they're screaming about how you could probably still give the virus to people even if you're asymptomatic, with plenty of those chugs and shit. And of course, it wouldn't be deathcore without that weird Latin choir and piano string bridge leading into a shreddy guitar solo with a lot of helpful advice about not contracting the disease. You know, disinfect the bathroom, it's where you share your poos. Disinfect the kitchen, it's where you eat your food. And, of course, advice about how you probably shouldn't be doing a whole lot of traveling, including, you know, don't go to China, don't go to Italy, and don't go to Iran. Then again, you probably shouldn't be going there anyway. And, yeah, it's just, it's the most ridiculous fucking thing, with, of course, a well-earned call-out to politicians that can't do their fucking jobs properly in the face of this whole epidemic. And, just gonna say this right now, Jared Dines actually looks pretty good in a medical smock. Just saying.
Yeah, this basically says everything that needs to be said about this whole thing, save for a more direct fuck you to the following. The CCP, Boris Johnson, Bolsonaro, Duterte, and fuckface von Clown Shoes with the rest of the clown car known as the Republican Party.
Ugh. Especially the bitch turtle.
Yeah. That motherfucker. Ugh.
And the White House blows up. With memes.
Oh yeah. Today we celebrate our Independence Day, and hopefully soon enough we will get back to having smart people, or, you know, somebody with a brain in charge.
Yeah, even if
God
one of them is
fucking willing.
Yeah, even if one of them is, I don't know, might be, well, y'all wanted him because he's somebody else's homeboy from back in the day.
Look. Enough with the arguments. A fried cheese sandwich would have more of a brain than what we have now.
A shovel and two candy bracelets would have more intelligence.
We have nowhere to go but up. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. I'm definitely agreeing. I'm agreeing you on that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, time to move on to our last song on this checklist, which may not be a meme, but it still bangs nonetheless. So, as some of you probably remember, Run the Jewels has been working on RTJ4, which they said would drop at the very least at some point before Coachella. But, as we all know, Coachella got, you know, the shit canned because of the plague. So, they're still gonna drop it at some point. It's gonna be, as they said, a free download, you know, because people obviously don't have money in these times. And they've, of course, been keeping busy with plenty of live stream shenanigans on Instagram and whatnot. From what I'm told, it is a beautiful mess. I gotta see if there's more they're doing there. And, yeah, so we actually got the first song released from the project. Originally it was released through LP's Instagram, but of course YouTube rips exist of it now. A track called Yankee and the Brave. And yeah, this is some more killer RTJ bars. That fucking beat, which sounds more on the LP side of things, but kind of like how ominous and industrial it is, like that synth and that classic hip-hop drum through. That typical, like, cinematic flair, like a fucking suspense thriller. It gets the fucking body pumping. Fucking Mike and L just slinging sick bars all over the fucking place. Bars sicker than the plague that's fucking decimating everything. Like, seriously, this is the fucking dream team right here, and you damn well bet I'm gonna be there to download that RTJ4 when it drops.
Yep. Yeah, back out like a crack guy, Mr. Blackmagic spoke up, crack a bitch back. I'm not gonna do that because they do it better than I did. What I'm saying is the bars are dope. Them together, some bars are dope. This shit is dope. And oh yeah, the song is on Instagram, you know, as in the whole song, not just the clip of them. But yeah, that's how I found about the song in there. But yeah, this shit fucking bangs. And whenever it drops, whenever the free download drops, I'm gonna get on that shit.
Yep, it's hype. Very, very hype. More, please.
Anyway, we're gonna take a quick break now that we are all done with the new song discussions. And when we come back, it's time for the usual checklist of what got canceled by the plague. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. We're back. So time for the back half of this podcast, which has now basically evolved into a list of things that are getting canceled because of the plague that's ravaging the entire fucking world right now. Literally everything, to the point where some of this information becomes outdated. Like, hey, remember Glastonbury? Yeah, that got canceled like the day after we recorded that friggin' episode. Fun!
Oh boy.
And, it's not the only festivals that have been canceled, because it's recently been announced that Epicenter, Welcome to Rockville, and Sonic Temple have all been canceled. Now, remind me, my memory's a little bit fuzzy, but aren't those, like, three of the festivals where Metallica was set to do, like, that those two nights where they're playing unique sets?
Yep. This was the Danny Wimmer Presents lineup that, unfortunately, had to get shut down because of, well, reasons that have already been explained many times over by so many people. Oh, God damn it. God damn it, God damn it, God damn it. Yeah, but not all is lost, though. While these events have been canceled, Louder Than Life is still set to take place in a sort of a make-good. They managed to add a Thursday date, free for current pass holders for the festival. And they have Metallica being the headliner for that special day. Again, tentatively speaking, giant friggin' asterisk, subject to change, considering everything going on right now.
In other words, by the time they're recording this, it might something happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know it's gonna happen.
Yeah. You never friggin' know what's going to happen, especially now with so many stupid fucking people in charge of all of this.
Yeah, everywhere. With everything getting shut down, including movie theaters, the one place where I thought I could be in a refuge, like, from the haven from all this bullshit. You know, my favorite place in the world, a dark room where you can eat candy and it's illegal to talk to you. But, of course, with all the major theater chains like Regal Cinema and, of course, AMC Theater shutting down for anywhere from at least 6 weeks to possibly 12 weeks, depending on how things pan out. So, roughly 3 month time span. That, of course, means that a lot of movies that were either that were in the theaters currently or were going to get released are either going straight to DVD or they're straight to streaming, sorry, or they're getting pulled from theatrical runs entirely. Probably one of the more prominent ones, you know, relative to our camp being Antebellum, the upcoming sort of experimental horror thriller that was set to star Janelle Monáe, you know, taking place across two different periods, one being, you know, American slavery and the other being the present day, which looked like a very interesting movie, but now that's, of course, going on the back burner until, yeah, who friggin' knows when's.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not only, yeah, and even though this ain't, you know, music-related news, like, of course, this mentioned, like, you know, that movie's from Lionsgate, you know, getting the people that brought you the Saw franchise. That coming moving, Spiral, the one, is thinking produced by Chris Rock. That got, that shit got pulled, too.
Everything getting pulled or going to the
on-demand. And you know what? Yeah. And you know what? I'm just going to say right now, I'm betting by a few days now that the movie whose name I'm going to say does not get cut too.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't have movies in theaters if all the theaters are closed now, can you?
Yeah.
Doesn't make much sense. And it's probably a good thing, you know, speaking of the whole Bandcamp thing, that a lot of artists were getting their money there, because Lord knows more traditional outlets like, say, Amazon, for example, are probably not going to be very helpful in that regard.
Nope.
No. So,
yeah, so, you know, with all these companies like Live Nation losing, you know, money and all that shit going on, it was announced that Amazon was halting temporarily distribution on products and items that are not, quote, household staples, medical supplies, or other high-demand products from, you know, vendors in the UK, and the US. So for record labels, that basically means, like, there's going to be a temporary pause on, you know, orders of CDs, vinyl, any sort of band merchandise until at least April 5th. And, you know, a lot of major physical retailers have had to, like, close shop in major European territories. And it's just this whole friggin' thing where, like, literally everything is working against musicians who need to rely on, you know, touring, merch, and album sales to make any sort of a living, because Lord knows their real jobs are probably shit-canning them to, you know, comply with government demands for social isolation and distancing.
Yeah. Not a good time happening right now.
Yeah.
It's happening pretty much system-wide for Amazon. Everything's being pushed back. Some items possibly pushed back up to a month for delivery. Because they have to prioritize more medical equipment. Yeah, it's not a very fun time all around. Mm-hmm. Here's hoping we can all escape from this whole thing unscathed, but this requires a lot of people cooperating and listening to, you know, people with brains. Even if the people who are supposed to be listening don't have brains, like Florida Man or Florida college students at Florida beaches. Why is it always Florida that ruins everything, Rob?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's been something in the water for at least the past 60 years.
And people,
that's my best answer.
And people, those college students, they're not millennials. Stop saying the word millennials like y'all. They're teenagers, not fucking millennials. We're millennials. We're just
Gen Z is the term you're looking for.
Yeah. But, you know,
everyone born after 94.
Yeah. It's not me. I'm born 93. I'm right at that cutoff date.
Excellent. Same here. Just missed it by a month, but yeah. Anyway, yeah. So obviously everything is getting canceled. Everything's getting pushed back. Everything sucks. Just, you know, I was ready to, like, die at some point or for the world to end because of a plague. Did it have to be at this fucking time? Couldn't it have waited? I don't know. I suppose this is what I get for putting Cattle Decapitation on my year-end best-of list when they have a song called Bring Back the Plague. Like, I guess I was asking for this. But damn it, I got shit to do. Anyway, so, yeah, with all that shit out of the way, time to move on to our last thing here, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of March 27th, 2020. Starting at the top, the new In This Moment album, Mother. But, at the very least, there's a new Igor project, Spirituality and Distortion. We got a new album from an indie rock artist, Waxahachie with St. Cloud. The new Pearl Jam album, Gigaton. The new Little Dragon project, New Me, Same Us.
Yay!
The newest album from Joyner Lucas with ADHD. And a new album from 5 Seconds of Summer with Calm.
Hey, Rob, there's one you're also missing. The new project from Knowledge with 1988.
Ah, yeah, that's a thing happening too. How come Metacritic didn't say that was coming out, you bastards? I rely on you.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, time to clean house with plenty of sanitizer and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, where I do things and lament that every stupid person on the planet is a danger to society. Was it worth it, you fucking assholes? Okay, I'm done.
Mark, what about you?
On Twitter, where I'm just there, and on my site, by the highway at highwayoverburst.com, which hopefully, when I get the time, time of season, probably winter wrap up, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that sometime soon, but shit, all this going on, I might have plenty of time to review some shit. You know, look at the time.
Yeah. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel, so subscribe, hit the bell tab, so you're always notified when new shit goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. Be sure to, you know, visit us at SurrealResolution.com, where you can find written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that fine shit. Be sure to jump into our Discord so you can share the spiciest COVID-19 memes, because that's how I cope with situations like this. Please help me. And, of course, a shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. So, thank you for listening this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with just more of the usual business, and Until then, I am so fucking tired right now.